You're listening to Awake, a men's podcast by Fellowship Bible Church. Men, welcome back to another episode of the Awake podcast. We are so excited to be back with you as we continue our conversation on our calling as men. We've been spending some time as a leadership team working through a book called The Masculine Mandate that's really produced some great conversations for us as a team. And we've wanted to bring some of those conversations to you, our listeners, guys who are a part of our ministry, part of this church. To enter into the conversation with us, and then encouraging you guys to spend time with your Awake groups after this each month to enter into conversation, to go through the discussion questions and spend time diving into what it looks like for us to live as godly men in our relationships and our work and the ministry in the church and to the watching world. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And before we dive into that and before I introduce our special guest, I want to send it over to Sean for a special announcement.
Sounds good. I'm so happy to be here. Happy for our special guest. You know, those who are listening, they're probably just wondering who's on.
Yeah,
Liam, exactly. What a riff, what an opening. Who's talking? But before that, more importantly, golf. Men love golf. I love golf. Liam loves golf.
New golfer.
Our special guest, I think, loves golf.
Thumbs up.
Yeah. So, it's our men's golf league is back. Mitch and some other guys helped put that on. Western Hills, the first and the third Monday of every month. It's going to start at 5:30. You can start sign up on the website. Yeah. Definitely sign up.
Yes.
Don't forget to sign up, guys. Varying skill levels.
Yeah.
It's going to be $15 for members of Great Life, $20 for non-members, food included, great times, shanks, maybe a hole-in-one out there sometime this season. We'll see.
Yeah.
So look for that. Sign up. Ask Liam or myself or anybody about it. We're really looking forward to just getting out there. And the reason we're doing this is because we've had conversations over these past couple years. They used to do this maybe for a season, and there were some great relationships that have continued from this day that met out there on the golf course. You know, you just have fun. It's a silly game that we enjoy. So keep an eye on that. Looking forward to diving a little deeper onto the course.
Yeah, and it's just such a great opportunity for growing in holiness because you see the true metal of a man when you shank it off the tee box and you go into water maybe four times in the water, which happened to me the last round.
You leave it in the water?
Sure.
Definitely. Yeah, playing golf with Liam we've played together twice now this past month or so, and it brings it to your knees sometimes in like mental like warfare, but
we'll help each other sanctify and grow in the image of Christ.
A lot of conversations with God on the golf course.
Love it
100%. So Bob Fulmer is our special guest.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me, man.
We're excited to have you on.
I'm excited. This will be good.
So kind of the reason why we wanted to bring you on the episode, we were talking a little bit before we hit record, is The chapters that we just started are covering marriage. So we've spent the last, 5 months kind of looking at the foundations in Scripture of what it means to be a man and who God has made us to be.
Yes.
We have not yet gotten to the conversation of marriage. We've been focusing just primarily just who has God made men to be. And it really comes down to this idea of God has called us to be shepherds in leaders. All of these different areas of life, different spheres. So that applies to married men and single men.
Yes.
But he has also called us to work and to keep. This is kind of the Genesis mandate that he gives to men, is that we are called to be creators and cultivators of whatever work we've been called to do.
Yes.
Now, work is cursed because of sin. And so it's harder now than it was before.
Could have been so easy.
Right. But work is not inherently bad.
Right.
Work is a good thing that God has given us to do. So that's been a lot of the foundations that we've been talking about.
Excellent.
So this last weekend, our leadership team gets together and we're opening up the chapter and having conversations. And the author of the book that we're going through takes a pretty strong stance on marriage based on Genesis 2.
Yes.
And essentially saying that for the vast majority of men, God's call is to be married. Yep. And for those men who are not yet married, they are in some ways incomplete without it. Mm-hmm. So there was disagreement around our table. There's conversation of like, what does this mean incomplete? What does this mean that God's general call is for men to be married? So here's my question.
Yeah.
Genesis 2 says that it's not good for man to be alone. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where the author built his case.
Mm-hmm.
God makes man and he puts him in the garden.
Yeah.
He says, it's not good that man is alone. Yeah. And so he makes all these animals.
Yes.
Adam names all the animals, yes. but none of them is found to be a suitable helper. So God makes woman, mm-hmm. bone of bone, flesh of flesh, to be a helper like him.
Right.
And so my question is, do you think that this truth of it's not good for man to be alone still applies today, and how?
The short answer would be yes.
Okay.
I think it does. I think it's interesting, though, just kind of stepping back a second, that here's man in the garden, in paradise, in the presence of God Almighty. Mm-hmm. And God says, this isn't really good.
Yeah.
There's something missing here. He needs to have somebody he can become one with. Because the Father is in relationship, mm-hmm. right? He's in relationship with himself, the Father, Son, Spirit. We are in his image, so it only makes sense that we should have somebody that we can also become one with, as he is one. So it makes total sense that he would say, you need a helper. You need someone to do this with. And so I do think it still stands that, I mean, God's truth is God's truth.
Yes.
He's unchanging. That's one of the things I love about God more than that. Was my main attraction to coming to Christ, was I love the fact that he's unchangeable and his truth is always right. It's always the same. So I would say, yeah, I think that is probably stands true. It's our highest calling is to be husbands, to procreate, to fill the earth, be fruitful and multiply. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do if you're not married. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it diminishes single men at all, because mm-hmm. the way the society, sin has come into the world, created instances sometimes where there's singleness. Mm-hmm. And so it's not in the perfect way that it was meant to be initially. Mm-hmm. And God uses those single men and women in ways that are really amazing. They can mm-hmm. devote their entire life to serving Christ. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But God is a redeemer.
Yeah.
He redeems all things. You can take the ugliest of ugly, and he can make it a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. So even if it's singleness is something that's maybe not exactly the way it would be, he can use that to his advantage, to bring him glory.
Yeah, yeah. And I think a disclaimer for everybody who's listening, like the three of us are sitting around the table here as married men.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Who have all had different lengths of time in seasons of singleness, but all I would say, I'm going to speak for you guys, so correct me if I'm wrong, but all felt the desire for marriage. All felt like this is what we're wired for. We're going to pursue marriage if God will provide us with the right spouse and the
100%.
Right
time. Right. Yeah. Yes.
And so I know, Bob, for you, mm-hmm. that came a little bit differently because you and Luann got married before you were believers, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we knew who Jesus was. Mm-hmm. I would say we got married before we started following Christ.
Sure.
We knew who Jesus was. We did a lot of checking the box.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not proud of that in any way, shape, or form. But we did a lot of that. We would go to church. We put our kids in Sunday school. But we weren't really following Christ when we got together. She probably more than me, actually. And then when I came to Christ and really started to follow him, our marriage flipped and it became something really amazing.
Yeah.
But that was 27 years into the marriage.
Into the marriage.
Yeah.
And we've been married
41 years.
41 years. Uh-huh. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
but awesome. It changed
immediately
because marriage at the beginning was all about what could she do for me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I saw her during merge, we put up a picture of her and I at our wedding day.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, what are these kids thinking? Like, I'll tell you what I was thinking. I was thinking I was have sex every night. I'm going to have a clean house. I'm going to have cooking meal on the table. It's going to be amazing. This is going to be great. That's what I'm thinking, you know?
Mm. How quickly was that dream dashed?
Probably day three after the honeymoon, when we had to start doing life on our own together.
Yeah.
But you know, that was the idea. I thought that would be, but once I started following Christ, I saw her differently.
Mm-hmm.
Now I saw her as someone that I have the opportunity to love,
mm-hmm.
someone that I can now pour out and mm-hmm. pour into. Mm-hmm. And it just changed the dynamic of our relationship in an amazing way.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. So Sean, for you, a little bit of a different story. You started following Christ before you and Jess got married. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what did that look like or was there just kind of this desire or call from God to pursue marriage? Was it something that you always knew that you wanted to pursue marriage growing up, even before Christ? Or what was that kind of like for you, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like there would have been waves in my life where it, definitely was something in my mind and then couldn't have been further away mm-hmm. from that. So just, I've known Christ for a long time, but following him in and out through mm-hmm. my, pubescent teen years and into my early 20s onto that when wage of sin and the world definitely tied in a lot. So it took me kind of reasserting myself and rebaptizing myself and before I could kind of purify myself and start dating again with Jessica onto that. So I come from a broken household. I saw infidelity at my household at like 5 years old. Mm. And then I think my parents split when I was about 13 in the end under that. Mm. So I saw this idea of marriage, but I saw other marriages in the church just super strong, the way men would love their wives and just right. that happiness, or I saw it right around me. So it was tough to sometimes be a part of. So I kind of saw that picture of what I thought marriage could be in growing this family. So I always had that on my heart to want to, at some point, God willing, have that opportunity to, find a woman who is, growing for Christ along with me. Mm-hmm. And then that we can merge our lives onto that. So, different than marrying your high school sweetheart. Mm-hmm. I didn't meet my wife until I was 29. Mm-hmm. I think she was a couple years older than me under that. So, just pursuing God has just been the only way, even as you've grown older in wisdom, right? So we both just have to pursue God daily and weekly. And we kind of, we know when we're being stagnant in our tribal mm-hmm. towards God under mm-hmm. that. But mm-hmm. definitely both wanted that, so much.
Yeah. And that was like my story had kind of ups and downs and seasons. I started following Christ in 2015 when I was a freshman in college. And before that, I grew up in a family where both of my parents came from broken homes. And when they got married, and I mean, I heard this when I was a kid, they had such a strong desire to maintain their marriage. That divorce was just off the table. Mm, and I love that. My parents aren't following Jesus, but I honor that they had that desire. Yes. It was such a strong, visible picture of commitment in the home. And so even growing up before following Jesus, I always had a real positive picture of marriage. It was something that was just kind of like, in general, it wasn't a question.
Right.
I was like, oh, of course, I'm going to grow up. I'm going to get married. I'm going to be a husband. I'm going to be a dad. That was just the picture that I had.
Yeah.
So when I started following Jesus in 2015, there were some real struggles and questions, especially as I read about the life of Christ and the ministry that he did as a single man, and read about the life of Paul, and especially in 1 Corinthians 7, I was literally in Brian's office right before recording this episode. I was like, Brian, what do we do with the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 7, where it's like, I wish that everybody was single like me, because then you wouldn't have to worry about the cares of the world or the concerns of a spouse. Right. You can just focus on ministry.
Yeah.
And so for seasons, that's what I did. Like, I would commit myself, I am not going to pursue relationship. I am just going to focus on ministry in college. That's what I just committed myself to do for several years. And then coming out of that time, I had really strong foundation with Christ. And it was towards the end of that kind of time commitment season that I had made to pursue singleness that I met Allie. And it was just like, I wasn't looking for a spouse. We just happened to both be in ministry at the same place at the same time. I got to see her character. I got to see the way that she loved Jesus. And I was like, man, I want to get closer with her.
Yeah.
I want to know her. And ultimately, obviously, that led to marriage.
Yeah.
It was something that we both had a desire for and that we ultimately pursued. But it wasn't, I wouldn't have said that was like my chief aim or my chief goal while I was focusing on Christ.
I think that you guys having come to Christ before you got married is such a good thing. Because one of the things we talk about a lot in marriage ministries with couples is that they got to have Christ first in their life.
Mm-hmm.
I got to love Jesus more than I love my wife. Mm-hmm. And when I didn't love Jesus more than my wife, our marriage was more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
When I started loving him more first, our marriage got so much better. So it's a great foundation to build a marriage off of. So I give you lots of props for doing that.
Because
I got married because it was the next thing to do. Yeah. It's like, hey, we went to school, went to high school, went to college. Now we've been dating for years. Yeah. Time to get married. I love this woman. We have a lot in common. We're very compatible, blah, blah, blah. We get married, and then we go through some struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found Christ, and it just was like, wow, that changed.
Yeah, we had kind of had a conversation about that in our men's ministry team about, hey, answering, oh, when's the, you know, our baby girl's getting ready to be one here in a couple weeks, you know, and,
awesome.
You know, the questions were months ago were, okay, when's the second one, you know, kind of get onto that.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I just kind of want to keep it us three. It's been great. You know, let's just kind of keep growing in that, or just like, hey, the Lord's doing awesome things for us in our marriage right now. We're not really thinking kids right now. We're thinking, you know, other things. So just being present into like God's daily mission for you and then just letting that kind of go from there. Yeah. But you made a point, and then I just kind of wanted to ask a question based off of in the marriage ministry, where do you feel like the level of like belief in Christ is for like, I know I'm having you maybe assess like these past couple of years, but is the belief in Christ just gone from most of these marriages in regards that are going through re-engaged, or like, where are you seeing like the problem? Are you seeing more numbers in re-engaged over these past 5 years? Or like, I'm just always curious because it seems like within your role, like marriage ministry is maybe like the most busy type of, you know, ministry because
it is busy.
Either they're married or they're like trying to not get divorced, you know? Or, I don't know. Just that as a whole. I know that was a big question.
Yeah. But that's a hard one because I don't know their hearts. It's hard to tell, but I can tell by the fruit of what they're doing and how they're living their lives. And I would say that most of the people who I meet with in counseling, that they know who Jesus is. And that's one of the questions I always ask, where are you at in your faith? Because the only solution I can bring to this table is Christ. And if you don't believe in him, you may need to see someone else. Because if you don't want to know Bob's way of marriage, and that's not going to help you. His way will help every time. It'll work every time. Yeah. So it's hard to know. But I think most people come in, they know Jesus. A lot of them come to church. You know, they go to church, not necessarily this church. They go to church and they serve and they do things. But there's a disconnect. We still are very selfish people. And it's you know, Jesus says, you want to follow me? What's the first thing you got to do? Die to self. And then the next thing he says is like, pick up a cross. That's going to be hard to do. And follow me. It's like, wow, okay, this is not easy. This is not going to be an easy thing. So I think in general, they have an idea who Jesus is, but marriage is a great ground for sanctification. And then you add kids and that just ups the ante, you know, but you have to learn to love people like Christ loves you. Because there will be times when you fall out of like with your spouse. You're married long enough, you will. You will just do it. And I talk to newly couples getting ready to get married. And they're, oh, you know, they're just so excited. And no, there's going to be this time, you know, when you're not going to like that guy.
Yeah.
You're going to be mad. You're not going to like him. He's going to say, do something stupid, or you will, and you're not going to like, but you're going to still need to love each other, be patient, kind with each other, be sacrificial with each other. And you don't want to, but that is sanctification. That's growing you up to be more Christ-like. So they learn, they become more sanctified, and they become more like Christ in their marriage, and it's usually through difficult times that happens.
Yeah. You've been kind of like hitting around this next question, but I would love to get just kind of your perspective of when you look at the scriptures, what would you say God's goals are in companionship between husband and wife?
I think the primary goal of marriage is to give a picture to humanity of who God is and his love for us.
Yeah.
Man, you look at a couple that's been married for 60-some years or 65 years, and you know, one's in a wheelchair and the other one's pushing them around, and they just love caring for each other. It's like, wow. I don't know about you guys, but I look at that and I go, I want that.
Yeah.
That's what I want in my marriage. And it's this picture of God's committed agape love for his kids. And man, we get to see that in marriage. So I think that's the first thing. And then companionship is just doing life together. It's great to have people to do life with. We all need that. We all desire that, especially men. We bond when we do things with people. Like when on the men's golf trip.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I mean, men will get together, golf, and that's how we kind of talk about life. We don't sit and just, women will sit and just process. This is what happened today. Men like to do things, and in between every golf shot or chip or whatever, you know, and you talk. Okay, so companionship is a big deal, and doing life together is a big deal. And the third thing is multiplying, having babies, having a family. That is God's desire to fill the earth, to produce and multiply. And so those are the things that I see in companionship and men and women coming together in marriage.
Yeah.
Those are the main things.
Yeah, so I guess then, you know, and again, disclaimer, we're all married.
Yeah.
But for the few of our guys who are not yet married, might desire marriage, or some of them might feel a call to singleness, can you speak a little bit to those guys who are single and desire marriage, what should be their focus during this season?
I think if you are a single man and your desire is to marry, I think your focus should be on Christ first, mm-hmm. building your relationship with him, mm-hmm. and it's becoming the best you can be, mm-hmm. physically, spiritually, emotionally. Those are things you can affect and you can work on. Mm-hmm. You want to protect your purity. That is a huge deal.
Yep.
Huge. Protect your purity, okay? You want to be in community with other men. And I think when you date, I think you ought to date to find your mate. Mm-hmm. I don't want you date to find trophies. Mm. Let's don't do that. The world says that's okay and yeah. that's cool. It's not cool. Yeah. It's very bad things happen when you do that. So I think, you know, date to find, when you go out on a date with a young lady, man, you're looking to find a wife. Mm-hmm. Are we compatible? Or do we have things in common? Do we believe the same things? Are we equally yoked in mm-hmm. many ways? Because if you go about it that way, you're going to have a better chance of finding that woman who mm-hmm. you can marry. And if you don't, you're going to be in great relationship with Christ. You're going to be a healthy, strong man who can do and contribute back to society in a good and positive way.
Yeah, and I think that's where it gets difficult is when you are focusing on Christ and you're doing these things that you're talking about, and it just seems like, man, the opportunity for marriage just keeps getting pushed further and further down the road.
Right, yeah.
And that's something that Paul talks about specifically in 1 Corinthians 7 is this gift of singleness. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes for people who are single, it yeah. does not feel like a gift mm-hmm. at all. It feels more like a curse.
Right.
When this is what I so desire, God, I desire marriage, mm-hmm. and yet it's not happening.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing in Scripture that says following Christ is easy.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen that. I'm yet to see where it says, get married and you'll be happy.
Yeah.
That's not in there either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a different path you're on.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. It is hard. But no matter which path you're on, it's going to be hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The marriage path is not necessarily no. an easy path. All right. We all yeah. know that.
No.
And being single can be difficult too.
Yeah.
So I just think it comes from having a perspective on God is walking you through your life to do certain things. And I do think mm-hmm. it's important. I like it when, I don't know if you're having this conversation or not, but I like it when people can get married younger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm maybe against the grain because the 24 is the age in which they say is the best time to get married when you're 24 because your brain has been fully developed, you're more yes. mature.
Crushed it.
Yeah.
Nailed that exactly.
Yeah. 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 Well, there could be an argument for me. But anyway, mine's starting to deteriorate. But they say that, you know, but I like young, because then you have uh-huh. time to have a life together. You can have kids. You can be young grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I, we got married at 23, and we have 4 grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about a gift from God and a blessing. I'm so glad that we made it through all the difficult times mm-hmm. we made it through. It's like, man, you look back and go, man, we could have walked away
yeah.
at that time, and we didn't. And because we didn't, because we were committed to each other, and now probably, you know, 15, 20 years, we were committed to Christ and each other.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now we have these grandbabies, and it's just a blessing. It's just yeah. beautiful. But if you start later in life, one, it's harder for women to get pregnant sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And 2, you become old grandparents.
Yeah. Yeah. You're older.
Well, it's just how it is.
It is, you know, and sometimes you kind of have to go through, I feel like the marriage age is probably getting later and later
in
life.
It is.
You know, with
even in the church.
At. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, most of the people are like usually in their upper 20s, like 27 to 33 would be the age that
yeah.
it's like.
It's pretty common.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I fall right into that yeah. age. And then, yeah. you know, being older, you know, older parents, you, yeah, definitely we think about that. Or Jess and I will have conversations about, oh, mm-hmm. it'd be so cool if we, you know, would have met, you know, younger and,
yeah.
you know, stuff. So there's all these like yeah. transitions, you know. I have classmates that have, you know, high schoolers, you know, or going into high school, you know, I see them on Facebook or whatnot. And so I'm thinking I've got a 1-year-old. So, but it's just accepting, right? The daily grind and the challenge of that. And so, as I'm listening to you, part of the conversation from that meeting was about how do you have these conversations with your friends that are single, and how do you, like, just guys that you're with, like, as somebody who's already married, or, you know, you're where they're trying to be, you know, mm-hmm. or so it seems, right? As long as that marriage is good, like, how do you have these conversations in lieu of, oh, just keep trusting in God, you know, just patient, yeah, but mm-hmm. some of the things like you were saying, just keeping pure and fellowship is how I think we can encourage all of our brothers to kind of come alongside and just be active while we're all waiting. We're all waiting anyways, right, for something. Right. So let's just be active and grow in that. So
I think it's important in the community, what you're talking about there, Sean, is when you're in community with other brothers, you want to build a relationship with them where you feel comfortable and safe to bring that topic up.
Yeah.
Because very few guys go, man, I just really wish I was married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that doesn't sound like a man thing to say.
Yeah.
So you got to get comfortable with the guys you're around. You say, you know, I'd really love to be married. Mm-hmm. I'd like to pursue that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pursuing Christ, but I also want to pursue a wife that I can have a family and have a godly picture of who he is in my life.
Yeah.
And then actively do it.
Yep.
Pray about it. Do it.
Yeah.
Let's get busy.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that is important to understand, though, too, is that God doesn't promise a spouse by any means.
No.
But what he does promise is increasing nearness with him over the course of our lives. And I think it's important for us to say this. And this is, again, I keep coming back to this disclaimer because it's so hard. I can imagine how difficult it would be for a single man to listen to us talk about marriage.
Yeah.
And I remember as a single man the idealized picture I had of marriage. It's like, oh, the grass is for sure greener on the other side. But it's understanding.
It has to be cut, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, nobody told you.
There's lawn work.
But I know this is something that you guys talk about a lot in marriage ministry, that it's the primary purpose of marriage is not your happiness, it's your holiness.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where we get the script flipped, and we think that I am finally going to be happy. I'm finally going to be fulfilled when I enter into marriage relationship or when kids come into the picture. If you feel like fatherhood is your calling, this is your purpose. And I can understand some of that. But when you misplace where fulfillment, purpose, and meaning comes from, and you put that on a marriage or you put that on a spouse or you put that on your kids, they actually can be crushed by that.
Yeah.
And I can share a very real example of this in my own life. As I remember, I thought I was coming into marriage with the right perspective. I really did. And I think it was about a year in, I remember sitting at lunch with a couple of buddies and just having to confess how frustrated I had been with Allie over the course of the last several months. And it just hit me in that lunch with those guys that I was expecting her to be Jesus for me. And she's not Jesus.
Ah, shocking.
What? Jesus is Jesus.
What?
But that was such a good reminder, and I needed to go through that. And I actually had to go to her and confess this to her. It's like,
good.
I'm sorry that I have been nitpicky and holding you to a standard that I don't even hold myself to, because it's crushing for you. It's crushing for a marriage. Where is there going to be companionship and love and openness and a willingness to share our brokenness and share our weaknesses if one part of that couple is holding an expectation of, well, this person has to fulfill me and be perfect in every way, otherwise I'm going to be let down.
Great point.
That's crushing to her. Yeah. And it took until realizing that I've begun to kind of be like, I can see it now in myself when I'm holding her to that standard. It's like, hold on.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to be Jesus. Jesus can be Jesus.
Jesus can be Jesus.
Allie can be Allie.
Yeah.
And she can grow in the image of Jesus, and I can help her with that.
Right.
But
you're supposed to.
Yeah, but she's not Christ for me.
No.
And so I say that as an encouragement to single men also, but also to all the married guys that are listening too. Great point. You cannot replace Christ with a spouse.
No.
It doesn't work.
It does not work.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times I say that when I counsel couples. By the way, newsflash, you didn't marry Jesus.
Yes.
Okay? You married a broken individual, just like you, just like me. We're broken people together, and we're broken people together in close proximity.
Yes.
So there's going to be conflict. There's going to be disagreements, and you're going to have to work through those.
Mm-hmm.
And with that mindset that I'm not Jesus, but we want to invite Christ into the marriage.
Yes.
So when he's in the marriage, he can help smooth those things out because you come to that realization just like you did, Liam.
Yeah.
That's the Holy Spirit going, whoa, slow down, bro.
Yeah.
She
it was conviction
Jesus.
For sure.
Yeah. I hear
it
you.
Was conviction.
I hear you.
Reflecting the character of Christ right back to your spouse, kind of, you know, when I mess up or, you know, I think my wife has so much grace, you know, for
yes.
so, you know, so many, you know, yeah. so many things,
yes.
you know, schedule or my words or whatever it may be. So that's that picture of grace and, you know, yeah. just humbly loving me. I'm like, you know, that's exactly, I see you growing, you know, and that yeah. desire and that's what pushes for that. As I'm a new dad, I think about, you know, the being crushed and Joe will say it in sermons sometimes about your kid's not a D1 athlete mm-hmm. and you having like older kids, you know, that, and we all think we've got like some form of athleticism or whatever. Maybe this is just me. Maybe this is, but you know, you know, so many times kids will, you know, parents will put a football, soccer ball, and a baseball like first week, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. all right, let's see what they got kind of deal.
Yeah.
But then that realization, I'm not sure when it happens, if it's like, you know, with some kids, it's like before they're five, they're like, you're not going anywhere all the way up until their senior year of high school where it's just like, okay, now our dream is crushed of a deep,
yeah,
you know,
dreams,
so
yeah.
I'm just imagining, you know, yeah. I don't know how old your daughter is and exactly how many kids you have,
yeah.
but just what your kind of expectations and how that the kids, your relationship with your kids affected your marriage in both a positive and kind of a negative way.
That's a good question.
Good question. I would say I have a 36-year-old son married with two little girls, and my daughter's 32, and she's married with a son, a little boy, and a little girl. And when they were growing up, they were all very athletic. I think they were coordinated. My daughter did a lot of dance and gymnastics. Dance was a real issue in our marriage because we spent a lot of money on dance at a time when I didn't have good jobs. And that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
And my son was a good basketball player, soccer player. But I knew that neither one of them were going to be professional athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of knew that. They were having fun. And they just knew that. Their desire was always to go on to school, college, get a degree, get a good job. Get married. I mean, that's kind of was their thing. So I realized that there was no professional thing happening early on. Now, the point is that I think one of the most important points of what you bring up is that when we have children, it creates a triangulation in communication. Because for the longest time, it was my wife and me, my wife mm-hmm. and me, my wife and me, my wife and me. Oh, Dylan's born. My wife. Oh, now we have this triangulation. Now our eyes are going like this.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking away from our marriage mm-hmm. and looking to that little one. Because especially when they're infants, like Noah's a little dude.
Yeah.
He needs to be cared for
a lot.
A lot
of attention.
It takes a lot of attention. Which means you have to be more intentional mm-hmm. with your being a good husband, because there is a difference between being a good father and being a good husband. Because
mm-hmm.
I hear many guys saying, I'm a good husband. I feed my family. I got a job. They got a roof over their heads. I discipline the kids. Well, that's being a good father. Good job. Slap it high. Way to go. But
yeah.
you got to be a good husband. Mm-hmm. What's that mean? Well, that means you're going to cherish your wife.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make her feel like she's the queen of the house. You're gonna die to yourself for her. You're gonna be sacrificial to her. You're gonna go on date nights. You're gonna tell her she looks beautiful. You're gonna just, you know, it's a different mm-hmm. thing. And we can get that confused.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have children, and we can become child-centered.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem. Great marriages are built on good order.
Yeah.
God's order is Him first, Christ first, your spouse next, then your children, then your job. Okay? So if your job is causing a problem with your marriage, you get a different job or find a different shift or whatever that looks like. Okay? If you're going to soccer and you're going to baseball practice and you never have any time with your wife because you're doing kid stuff, that's got one of those things has to drop.
Because
your marriage, best thing you can do for your kids, stay married.
Mm-hmm.
Best thing.
Yeah.
So that's my spiel on kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably not going to be professional players.
Yeah.
They're just probably not going to do that, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah. But even without that yet, like, because like you were saying, Noah's only 7 months old.
Yes.
But it's still so easy for, even when we're looking at each other and talking to each other, mm-hmm. for our conversation to be about him.
Right.
And so he doesn't even have to be in the room sometimes.
Right.
And that's where it gets really difficult.
Yeah.
It's not only do you have to prioritize time alone together, mm-hmm. which we try to do weekly on date nights,
yep.
but you also have to make sure that when we're together, it's not about Noah, and it's not about work. That right. It's about us. It's about our relationships with Christ. It's
yes.
about, you know, how are we wanting to grow? And so some of the practical things that we try to build into just the seasons of our life and marriage is asking for help to watch Noah.
Yes.
And that can be with family, so but it can also be with your community group. It can be with your friends.
Absolutely.
It can be with, you know, and it might be with childcare. It might be with babysitters, but lean on the people around you to support them and then offer that same support to them so that they can focus on their marriage. But
and you also need to ask open-ended questions when you're with your spouse, because what happens, you guys, is that when you, as you grow through your marriage, you're changing. Mm. You're a different man today than you were when Noah was born.
100%.
Okay? You're different.
Yep.
Your bride's different, okay? And as you go through life, good things happen, bad things happen. Mm-hmm. After every one of those seasons, you come out a different person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your wife is different too. Mm-hmm. Your love languages even change. So you always got to be studying your spouse. Like, tell me, what's your biggest fear? What are you afraid of right now?
Mm-hmm.
What's your biggest dream? If you found $1,000 in the street, what would you want to do with it? I mean, just open-ended questions just to know
and
where they
plug
land.
You on that that marriage email that you send out every month. There's a monthly marriage email. Yeah. There is at the bottom of every one of those emails, there is just like, ask your spouse this. And
right.
It's one of these questions just like that.
Just
that
an open-ended
triggers
question.
Just like, if you drop it at the right time, she thinks like, she's like, where did you come up with that?
Mm, right.
Sometimes I try to claim them as my own, you know.
Do
you
it.
Know,
just whatever you got to like, do, claim it as your own. And,
other times, you know, I think she knows. She knows me better than I know myself. She's like, you didn't intentionally come up with that.
Yeah.
I just saw you on your phone 5 minutes ago and now you're asking me, you know,
that's
you know, what would happen if you found, you know, $1 million.
Right.
So where can people sign up for that?
Married People Monthly online.
Okay.
Just go online.
Is it linked on our website?
Uh-huh. In our marriage area, you can go there and sign up for it.
Awesome.
Yeah. And you get discounts on all of our date nights and you're the first to know about stuff coming up.
Ooh,
so
that sounds like a pretty good tip.
It's a pretty good deal.
It's being intentional, right? So that's
totally, it is all about being intentional. It is totally about being intentional. Mm-hmm. Great marriages, as I always say, great marriages don't happen by accident. They happen on purpose. You got to be purposeful. You got to be intentional with it. Look, when you get married, it's a living organism.
Yes.
It's called marriage. Okay. You bring Noah home, you set him in a room and leave. He's not going to survive.
Yeah.
What makes you think that your marriage, this relationship, this living thing between the two become one, okay, become one. How's that going to survive if you're not feeding it?
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It is going to die. And the insidious thing is it happens slowly.
Mm.
Satan doesn't come to you and say, hey, check out that woman over there. Your marriage is going to collapse. Mm-hmm. No, it's just like, look, talk, go out and have coffee. You're doing business. You know, just lies, 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 lies. And slowly you drift. You're doing kids stuff. You're not doing marriage stuff. You're just doing kids stuff. You're doing work. And you can find idols in anything. It can be your job. It's not always bad things.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have your mistress can be the gym. I'm going to the gym. I'm going to spend 3 hours every night at the gym to get in shape and be healthy.
Your hobbies in general.
Exactly. Yeah. Can be marriage killers. So you got to be very careful about those kinds of things. That's what I'm saying. Christ first, your wife second. I mean, you got to always be thinking, where's this falling? Where's it
even falling? Through that, you know, the game of golf that we've joked about and that we love, you know, it's, when I was playing a lot, I see some of the guys that are on the golf course, you know, it's like, man, you played this morning and you played tonight, you know, and you're a few adult beverages, you know, that, you know, and not, I don't know where, I know enough of about some of the people to know where some of those marriages are in that type of environment onto that as well. So just even that's where I try to probably give, I already give a lot of time to work. And then you know, it's like, okay, well, where are you going to give the rest of your time?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, to my activities. Okay. Well then now the piece of the pie just got smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
So
yep.
that God order that you had set onto that really speaks to me during this season and hopefully, you know, others.
Yeah, time and attention are two of the greatest commodities that we have.
Oh,
and
most valuable.
And we have limited resources in those two areas. And so we have to decide as husbands, where are we going to commit our time, effort, and energy?
Yeah.
And there, I mean, honestly, some like when you go to spend time with the Lord, obviously you are taking time away from other things, but it makes you better and more like Christ in those spaces.
You're much more efficient in all your other spaces.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're not saying sacrifice time with the Lord in order to spend more time with your spouse.
No.
And sometimes those hobbies or activities, when done in right proportion, can help you to be a better husband,
Absolutely.
Help you to be a better father. So no we're not question. Saying eliminate all worldly desire and only focus on spending time in prayer and in the word and with your spouse and with yeah. your kids. That's yeah. not what we're saying.
Not at all.
But it's got to be in right proportion.
Exactly. And you need time to be with just your yes. bros. Yeah. And she needs times to be with her sisters.
Yes.
You know, just times to be alone and apart and build friendships. You know, strong marriages are made up of two strong individuals, mm-hmm. not weak and needy. Mm-hmm. So if you're, you know, you're in a community, they can help build you up, speak Christ in you, same with her, come together. But you're right. It's all about proportions, yeah. doing it right in moderation.
And yeah. having those conversations
yeah.
to actually say, it's like, hey, I think that this would be really beneficial for me if I could have this amount of time.
Yes.
And then I'm willing to sacrifice in this way so that you can have this time.
Absolutely.
Thinking yeah. of Mother's Day, you know, Allie, I was like, "What? How do you want to spend this time? How do you want to spend this day?" And, you know, I got her a few gifts, but mm-hmm. what she really wanted was to spend the morning crafting.
Yeah.
That's what she wanted more than yeah. anything.
Take the baby.
It wasn't necessarily yeah. time together. It's like, yeah. that's fine.
Absolutely.
That's fine. That's what you want to do. I'll take the baby. I'll change the diapers, do feeding, whatever yes. it takes.
Yeah.
And that's what she wanted to do. So it was just, how can I make a sacrifice to encourage her and let her fill her cup up, mm-hmm. knowing that she does the exact same thing for me when I need that as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it all comes back to that, having that open line of communication. And when expectations are missed, circling back to that and being willing to have that conversation too.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is absolutely it. You got to know. And, you know, you can have expectations. And if you don't tell the other person what they are and they yes. don't fulfill them, you can be resentful.
Yes.
And so it's always good to talk about what is my expectation. I thought this would this way. It didn't work out that way. But what do you do with the gap between fulfillment and unfulfillment? Mm-hmm. You got to fill it with love always believes.
Yeah.
Love always trusts. You believe the best. I'm going to believe the best about you. I'm going to start at that point.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, having those conversations is very important, and to know what they're desiring.
Yeah.
And we're going to lay our lives down, men. It's up to us as men to lay our lives down for our wives,
yes.
to die to ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's more important for Luann, for me, for Luann to have a wonderful day. And if that means I don't play golf with the guys, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Because you're more important than they are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, I will do that at some point in time, but I got to make sure you're good with that.
Yes.
You know,
yeah, so
it's having those conversations. And you know, Liam, it's about having a safe space.
Yeah.
You got great communication. I can't tell you how many couples come in. We have bad communication. Our communication isn't good. First question I ask is, do you have a safe relationship? Can you talk about anything?
Mm-hmm.
Or is there a topic that you're, I don't really want to talk about our sex life. Ooh, I don't want to go there. Or I don't want to talk about money. I don't know. Those are unsafe places where you cannot have good communication if you can't talk about something.
So do you just try to open up that conversation?
Absolutely.
From there and then just,
let's
that's
go.
Where we have to start.
Let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. Let's talk. And then, so you got to be safe, and then it's got to be clear. You got to speak truth clearly. How do I feel? How do I interpret this?
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, because no one can deal with lies.
Mm-hmm.
If you're lying to me, I can't do a thing.
Yep.
There's not a thing I can do to help you. Mm-hmm. But if you tell me the truth, even if the truth is a little painful,
mm-hmm.
I can work with that. Okay. So it's safe place, make it a safe space, safe place to be in truth and clarity, great communication.
Yeah. And one other thing that just popped into my mind too, is that, when we are actually sacrificially loving our wives the way Christ calls us to, guys around us, sometimes even in the church, may disparage you for that. Because to use a term that is just unnecessary, it's like, oh, you're whipped. You're whipped.
Yeah.
And it's like, it does not matter what those guys think about that relationship. What matters is, are you honoring God and are you loving your wife?
That's a badge of honor.
Yes.
If someone tells me you're whipped, Bob, I'm like, yes, I am.
Yeah.
Like, I am whipped.
I pour myself out for my wife.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I lay my life down for her.
Exactly.
Christ is my lead and my guide and my king. And that woman's the queen.
Yeah.
I'm just the dude that does all the work.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that because I do it for him.
Yeah.
You know, when you do stuff for your wife, you empty the dishwasher, you do laundry, and she doesn't see anything. Because I have couples say, well, I did that. You know, they're keeping score. I'm like, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Stop, stop, stop. You're not doing that just for your wife.
Yeah.
You do all things for the Lord. Mm-hmm. He sees you. And in fact, it's even better when I do something for Luann and she doesn't see it and thank me, because it's like, God sees it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my boy. That's what we do.
Yeah.
That's how we roll, bro. That's exactly how we roll.
Yes.
You're not doing that to get all... No, you did it because you love me and you love your spouse the way I love her.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, I think in closing, I think just a great question to wrap up here is really practically, how can we grow in sacrificially loving our wives? How would you advise us to do that?
I think the simple and hard question or answer is to follow Christ's example. Mm-hmm. You got to know who Christ is and what he did for you on the cross for us, the great sacrifice he made. So why? Why did he make that sacrifice? So we could have a relationship. Mm-hmm. So a great relationship required great sacrifice. Yep. We want to have a great relationship with our wife. We got to be sacrificial like as Christ was to us. So it's that and being intentional. It's got to be top of mind. Mm-hmm. Your marriage and your relationship has to be something you think. Every day I tell guys, you got to wake up every day and go, I'm married. One of the biggest problems I see, what's the biggest problem in marriage? We were talking about it before we went on, before we started recording this, is that people forget they're married. They just simply forget that you have a spouse that you got to take care of and care about. So it's being intentional, intentional, and then modeling how Christ is sacrificial to us.
Yeah.
And offering lots of forgiveness. If you get good at forgiving and giving grace, you're going to have a great marriage.
Yep.
Not easy. I didn't say an easy marriage. It'll be a great marriage, but you got to be good at forgiveness and giving grace. Yeah. And if you can give undeserved merit or favor, grace, to your spouse a lot, you're going to become more Christ-like and your marriage is going to be better.
Yeah. And I think that's a part of what it looks like to be a leader is that intentionality.
Absolutely.
Means you take the first step.
Absolutely.
Like if you are struggling in having conversations about sex, finances, work, life balance, guys, you take the first step. You go buy that book that might guide your conversation. Go ask for time to meet with Bob or time to talk with a wise counselor.
Yeah.
But your leadership means that you initiate.
I challenge guys all the time. I look at them more in our discussions when I'm meeting with couples. I look at the guy all the time and go, it's on you. You got to bring that topic up. Well, she didn't like talking about it. Well, you bring it up. You do the research. You're the man. You lead. You lead your family. And you lead by example and by sacrifice, being a sacrificial leader. And being the man in the family and leader really means you take responsibility.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you have to make all the decisions. Right. Luann makes more decisions than me. She's smarter than me in most areas. Okay. But if her decision fails, I take the hit. That didn't work out. That's okay. It's on me. Because I'm the man. I take responsibility for our family. But she pours into, I mean, her wise counsel is insane.
Yeah.
Just, and I'm sure you have the same thing. Our wives are wise people. Women are very wise. And when they bring their counsel to us and we take it and it fails, I don't blame them. It's on me.
Yeah, because more than likely they've been praying about it. You know, in my circumstances, I was praying you'd bring this up to me. That way we could talk about this, you know, that way. Because if it's, you know, it's on his terms, then he brought to it, then I'm not kind of, you know, so many probably conversations with wives, like, I don't want to corner him because then there's defensiveness.
Unsafe.
And then it moves into a situation under that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And they're just like everyday conversations too under that. So,
yeah.
No, 100%. So.
Yeah, Bob, thank you so much for just
for your
counsel and guiding us through this conversation. Guys, I hope that this has been encouraging. I know we've kind of bounced around to a lot of different topics around the topic of marriage, but yeah, I would just close with that same encouragement. You focus on what Christ has done for you and make an intentional plan for how you can grow in your marriage and your role as a husband.
Yep.
Those are the two best things that you can spend your time doing.
Totally.
And that's going to look different for different guys in different seasons. But as you have time with your brothers around this podcast over the next month, have those conversations. Have guys who know what your plan to grow is that can hold you accountable to that, encourage you, pray for you. It's like, what better space to begin working that out in than in community with other brothers so that you can then come to your wife with clarity, with kindness, with love, compassion, patience, and a plan to how you can grow in your marriage. So
great advice.
Yeah, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Awake Podcast. We will see you next time.